Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and live from the third and thankfully last U.S. presidential debate, it's the Fourth and Inches show with Jenna and the Sherpas. Jenna, welcome to Las Vegas.
I mean, I was all ready for this to be something about Des Bryant's kitchen, and then you threw the debate at me. That was just a little on the nose.
Well, here, I'll throw something else at you. I was driving to work the other day, and cargo zipping by me, and so I just glanced, as a good distracted driver will do. I looked at the license plate to see, you know, if there was anything interesting, and the license plate was Wentz 11.
And I'm, oh, you know, Jesus, already?
I'm thinking, there's a bandwagoner for you. I mean, what's the season, like 6 weeks old and somebody already has a one? And then I was curious whether that person, my first thought was whether the person had that license plate as soon as Wentz got drafted or at some point during the summer, or whether they, you know, waited until after the week one performance against the Browns and went out and got it. And then my second thought was, if he loses another two games in a row, are they going to be trading that in for a Chase Daniel license plate or,
yes,
or some other variation that we haven't thought of?
I hope they have, like, a whole rotation. They're just ready for it. Like, they could have had a Sam Bradford one over the summer. You just don't know. Or maybe, maybe they're huge North Dakota State fans, and this they've had for years.
That's a more likely explanation, I think. But
not
anyway,
fun,
while
though.
I ponder whether that's a likely explanation or not, Jenna, why don't you tell people how they can get in touch with us?
Well, we'll be here
still
for
pondering.
Our regularly scheduled hour, just on a slightly different time. We'll be here with you until 8:30 tonight, and then we'll return to our regularly scheduled programming next week from 9 to 10 on Wednesdays, as usual. You can find us all over social media, on Twitter at the number 4THIN Inches Show, at Fantasy_Sherpa, at JKIM16, on Facebook at the Fantasy Football Sherpa fan page, and at FantasyFootballSherpa.com. We're going to take you through all of the games, give you predictions, even scores. We'll see how good those are. But injuries, news and notes, your starts and sits, your daily fantasy, and your waiver wire picks. So we got an action-packed show for you this week, despite two teams being on byes, the Cowboys and the Panthers. Clearly, I'm a little less ornery than usual, so that's good for everybody.
Yeah, at least the Cowboys can't lose this weekend. So
exactly. That, as a Cowboys fan, bye weeks are the best.
I still don't know what they're going to do with Tony Romo when he comes back. It looks more and more like they're trying to figure out a plausible way to just keep Dak Prescott in there and not mess with a good thing.
I mean, realistically, if I'm Tony Romo, I need to come out and say something to the effect of, I don't want to mess with the chemistry of this team, and kind of take myself out of the conversation so that it becomes less of a circus. That's not what will happen, because this is the Cowboys. And I think we can all stop talking about trading him. I'm looking at you, Donovan McNabb, because no one's going to take that contract. I don't think even the Jets are that dumb. What it's going to come down to is Tony Romo and Mark Sanchez maybe eating hot dogs on the sideline while Dak Prescott, you know, goes out there and plays. And then I want to have Romo maybe at the end of the season get a little bit of garbage time in to get his timing back, so that if Dak, God forbid, gets injured or we go to the playoffs and maybe he isn't playing so well, we've got an option, and it's not Mark Sanchez. And that makes me feel a lot better about things.
I don't know. I still think that over the course of the season, I'd rather have Tony Romo as my quarterback than Dak Prescott, but
I don't necessarily disagree with you, but I'd like to stay with the hot hand, and right now what Dak's doing works.
He's handing the ball off to Ezekiel Elliott. Tony Romo could
exactly
do that,
and it works out great. But Tony Romo's not going to just do that. He's a gunslinger. He's got to throw downfield. He's got Des Bryant 58 yards away he's going to throw to. And, like, that can be all right, but, you know, right now, the semi-conservative way that Dak's playing, that works.
All right, so enough of Dak and the Cowboys. Why don't we get on to the slate? We've got almost a full slate this week, as you mentioned. We've got Carolina and Dallas are the only teams on vacation. Well, actually, technically, I guess the Giants and the Rams are on vacation since they're playing in London, although it's...
Do you think Odell Beckham Jr. brought his new fiancé, the kicking net, with him? A little overseas action?
No, No, but I'm guessing you probably custom ordered one from over there to be brought to the stadium. So we'll
I expect
see.
Nothing but less.
I'm sure it'll be an item on the back page of the New York tabloids this week. So First up, we've got the Thursday night game, and I know you love Thursday night games. Last week, Chargers mild upset, well, maybe not so mild upset over the Broncos. This week, we've got Chicago that snatched defeat from the jaws of victory last week against Jacksonville, on the road against Green Bay, which you know managed to lose to the Cowboys at home.
That
so
was ugly.
How do you? Yeah. I know the conventional wisdom on this game is going to be to pick the Packers, but I just don't see it. I think even with Brian Hoyer, the Bears are just a better offense right now than the Packers, which sounds weird to say with Aaron Rodgers there and his full complement of receivers healthy. Obviously, the backfield is banged up, which we'll get to in a minute. But
very banged up.
I like Chicago in this game, and I'm going to take them to win on the road by a touchdown. I'll go with the final score, Chicago 28. Green Bay 20.
Okay, so we see this very similar. Like you said, you can absolutely make a case that Aaron Rodgers is going to be cranky, he's going to come back, he's going to beat up on the Bears, it's Thursday night, weird stuff happens all the time. But realistically, and I had this argument very vehemently with somebody at work today who swore up and down that they were making an incredible survivor pool pick by picking the Packers this week, and I told him that was not the case.
Oh, totally disagree.
Yeah, thank you. But anyway, I think for me, smart money is on the Bears winning this game. Not only, or as shocking as this feels to say, the Bears are actually a marginally healthier team right now, but their offense is more cohesive. Their defense leaves something to be desired, but so does the Packers for sure. And Brian Hoyer, if you were to look at Aaron Rodgers and Brian Hoyer's stats from this season next to each other, they're almost identical. If anything, Brian Hoyer's actually been better on paper. Now, granted, you're going to want Aaron Rodgers, his ceiling's higher, but Brian Hoyer is leading this Bears offense. It's not, you know, super exciting, it's not real sexy, but it works. He and Jordan Howard have a good thing going. You know, the receiver's a little banged up, but it works, and I think they're going to win 27-21, so I'm right along the same score as you've got.
Wow. I'm shocked.
I know.
do you think the Bears have a quarterback controversy brewing? Is it possible for a 1-5 team to have a quarterback controversy when Jay Cutler gets back?
I think so, but Jay Cutler's not a real fast healer. We're probably still 2 weeks away from this being an issue, but if I'm the Bears, I'm going to keep Brian Hoyer in there until he loses the job himself. I don't think that Jay Cutler has played well enough to just come back and slide right into this position.
Okay, and as far as Green Bay goes, what do you make of their backfield situation
the
there?
The fact that I'm probably as qualified to play running back as anybody this week for the Packers. Spoiler alert for our upcoming segments, but Eddie Lacy is not going to play this week. He's got an ankle injury. He left the game early last week. They're talking he could miss a couple of weeks. I'd say this is more week to week than anything else right now. James Starks is still out with a knee injury. He's absolutely not playing. It looks like Ty Montgomery could be getting the bulk of the action in the backfield. They're going to rotate between wide receivers back there. It's going to get weird. Nile Davis, they traded for from the Chiefs, which is actually great because he was just not getting used and he's very talented. Unfortunately, they traded for him and they play on Thursday. So there's not a lot of time for him to learn the offense. He is somewhat familiar with the West Coast offense, but he's going to be returning kicks. Absolutely. They're going to try to work him in the backfield a little bit, but this is going to be a crapshoot.
Okay, so
yeah.
Let's move on to the next game then. We've got the Sunday morning game, which is even stranger than usual because we've got an East Coast team playing a West Coast team in London. So for the Rams, it'll be 3:30 local time when they take the field not 3:30, I guess it would be 6:30.
I have no idea what the time difference is anymore.
6:30 a.m. their time. I think the game begins at 9 or 9:30 Eastern, so be 6:30 on the West Coast Sunday morning. So it's a little bit – I mean, I know they fly over early in the week, and professional athletes, I'm sure they can get used to the time difference, but their fans probably have not been getting up early all week to adjust to the time difference. So probably be a lot
of
bleary-eyed people.
If you are, then props to you, because that's incredible dedication, and I respect that.
Yeah, so – Eli Manning managed to get on track a little bit last week. Of course, part of that is a function of the fact they have no run game whatsoever, and I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Mm-mm.
I think this game is going to be a shootout passing-wise, and I think the Giants are in a little bit better shape right now than the Rams. I mean, I like what Case Keenum has bounced back after those two awful games to start the season. Now he's thrown for 300 yards a couple of times. Kenny Britt looks like he's having a revival and all, but still, I think Giants have a few too many weapons on offense in the passing game. I think I'll go with the Giants to win this one. I'll say Giants 28, Rams 21.
I'm actually taking the Rams in the upset here. It's London. Stuff gets weird. I have it as a little lower scoring of a game than you do. I've got the Rams winning 24-20. I do think this is going to have to be a pass-heavy game on both sides of the ball. I just think that the Rams are going to be able to edge them out. They're going to keep building on what they've done. And it just, Eli Manning having to throw that much scares me. Odell Beckham Jr.'s got a bum hip. I think it could be a perfect storm of an upset here.
So as far as the Rams go, Todd Gurley, holding him if you have him in leagues, and also Kenny Britt, what do you think of him? Is he for real, you know, with a couple good games and almost 400 yards of receiving under his belt now, or do you think he's still someone not to be trusted yet?
No, he is for real. I mean, I liked him in Tennessee, but he's got a great skill set. He's got a high ceiling now that he seems to finally have a rapport with Case Keenum. I'm all about it. I love it.
Okay. Moving along here, we've got the suddenly hot Washington Redskins at suddenly hot Detroit Lions. This game I actually don't think will be that close, and surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly for you, I'm going to go with the Redskins here to win this one pretty easily. I think they'll be able to run and pass against the Detroit defense. I think Washington's defense has been better the last couple weeks, and you know, I think Washington wins this by a couple of touchdowns. I'll go with the final score, Washington 38, Detroit 24.
Okay, yeah, so we do see this a little differently. Now, granted, Washington has looked better. I will give them that. I don't necessarily think they look as good as their record shows, but I could probably also say that about the Cowboys. Detroit, I like their offense. I like what they're doing. Yes, their defense will give up points, but I'm not quite as sold on Washington as you are. I'm taking Detroit 27-21. Matt Jones needs to prove himself tremendously before I start to get excited about that Redskins run game.
I mean, that's kind of a three-headed monster there right now with Kelly and Thompson and Jones. I mean, Jones is obviously the one you want to own, but especially Thompson, if you're in a PPR league and you're looking for a end of the lineup flex option in a really deep league, I think he's worth considering.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not there yet.
All right. So next we have two teams that I think are going to combine to score less points than the Redskins this week, and that's Minnesota on the road at Philadelphia. This game looks to me like it's going to be, I guess you don't say defensive shootout, defensive struggle.
The Sam Bradford Bowl.
The Sam Bradford returns bowl. And I think he'll make a not-so-triumphant return. I think Philadelphia is going to break their two-game losing streak and hang the Vikings' first loss on them in a low-scoring game. I'll go with Philadelphia to win this on a late field goal. Philadelphia 17, Minnesota 14.
Okay, I'm considerably more excited about the Sam Bradford Bowl than you are, and that's the only way I'm going to refer to this game. There are two sides of this. I could make a case that this could go either way, but I'm choosing to go Minnesota 27-21. Neither of these teams are really lighting the world on fire. I think this is going to be more a product of mistakes than necessarily great play. I'm not super excited about a lot of fantasy options in either side of the ball here. But I think that Minnesota's defense is going to be the difference, and the Eagles' offensive line is going to be kind of their downfall. So Sam Bradford rolls on.
One guy that intrigues me is Jerick McKinnon in this game, because Philadelphia, they had a top-ranked run defense before last week, and the Redskins kind of shredded that. And you wonder, is that just a one-week thing where Washington have the right game plan and the perfect storm?
Well, in all fairness,
have a better passing game too. Or
almost any other defense, I think, aside from the Vikings defense, had the same set of variables that the Eagles did last week. They were on the field for almost like 40 straight playable minutes. Like, it was outrageous. The Eagles' offense was on the field for about a minute and a half in both the second and third quarters. They just were scoring on special teams plays and things like that, but they were on the field way too long. They got exposed, and I think, nine out of ten defenses in this league would have had a similar result. So I think that's more of a one-off than an all-the-time thing. I'm not saying the Eagles' defense is good, but I don't think it's as bad as it looked last week.
Well, I think it is pretty good. It's just a matter of, are they really a top-notch defense, as I seem to be saying here, or are they just a very good defense? And I guess we'll see this week. I'm just not sold on Minnesota's offense yet. Defense, obviously, they're one of the top, at least statistically, in the league so far, but we'll see if that's enough to carry them through to victory here. So onward and upward, we've got the mistake by the lake, the Cleveland Browns playing at Cincinnati.
The mistake by the lake, that's perfect.
it's not original. I wish I could take credit for it. But, So, anyway, we've got Cleveland at Cincinnati, the first edition of the Ohio Bowl this year, and this is going to be a high-scoring game. Cleveland should be able to run the ball at will against Cincinnati. Cincinnati should be able to pass the ball at will against Cleveland. When all is said and done, I think Cincinnati has a little bit more offense than Cleveland does, and I'm going to go with them to win this in a pretty high-scoring game. I'll say Cincinnati 34, Cleveland 27.
Okay, I have a little less scoring. I agree with you. Andy Dalton, the Ginger Ninja, going to take Cincinnati to victory here. I'm thinking more 27-17. I'm not quite as excited about the Cleveland offense and run game as a whole as you are, but I think this is at least going to be more competitive than in years past, so that's something.
Well, Cody Kessler is quietly, and again, I'm biased.
I like Cody
Kessler.
I'm on board with him.
He's putting together quietly. He's establishing himself there, and with Andrew Hawkins and Ricardo Lewis starting to step up, and Terrell Pryor having a decent season, Gary Barnage showing signs of life. Their passing game is actually in pretty good shape. And then you've got Isaiah Crowell, Duke Johnson. They have the makings of a pretty good offense. It's just for whatever reason.
They do.
Reason,
I just don't think they're there
yet. Usually it's
their offense
that's been a problem. But I think they can hang a good amount of points on Cincinnati. I just think their downfall, as it has been in other games this season so far, is they're just not going to be able to stop anybody in crunch time, but we'll see.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Next up, we've got an AFC South battle, the Indianapolis Colts. What's happening to them playing at Tennessee? Indianapolis, both of these offenses are fairly one-dimensional. I know Frank Gore passed a milestone last week, which is, I guess, better than passing a stone. But anyway,
he could have done that. We don't know.
We don't. He's old enough, I guess. But anyway, Indianapolis, pretty one-dimensional offense. With the pass, Tennessee, pretty much a one-dimensional offense with the run. Although Marcus Mariota, he's shown signs of his life last couple weeks. Do you think he's on the verge of breaking out, or is that just something where it's a function of who they played the last couple weeks?
No, I think he's poised for a nice breakout over the next couple of weeks here. I think that this Tennessee offense is really about to start kind of building off what they've done over the end of last season and the beginning of this season. I think they're primed to do some big things, and I think they're going to win this game this week. I don't see it being a hugely high-scoring game, but I think Tennessee wins 27-21. Indianapolis, there's a lot of things to be concerned about there. And even, Andrew Luck can't overcome everything anymore. Like, it's too much. There's too many holes. There's too many problems. They need to really start looking at it. Like, It's not even that they need to rebuild. It's they need to find a way to stay healthy and find some quality backups that when someone goes down with an injury, it's not the end of the world. And, you know, maybe get a secondary. Just think about drafting defensive players. But I think Indy's in some trouble.
All right. I actually agree with you on the winner, but I think it's going to be a little bit more high scoring. I'm going to go with the same score I did in the Cincinnati-Cleveland game. I'm going to say Tennessee 34, Indianapolis 27. So we'll see. Do you think Derrick Henry has fantasy value in the second half of the season, or are they just, is that the DeMarco Murray show and that's it?
No, I think that he will. Like, I think that especially in a PPR league or a deeper league, I think he's going to have some value. Because DeMarco Murray is a little injury prone. He's going to need some downtime. The amount that they're using him now, he's going to need to get some rest. And especially, hopefully, they're looking at games where they're going to have garbage time and they're going to have some more opportunities to work Derrick Henry into this offense a little bit more. And I think there's going to be value there.
Yeah, well, they're nipping at the heels of the Texans right now. So that's, you know, they should be playing some meaningful games later on in the season. So there's that. Let's see now. So we've got Indy and Tennessee. We just did that one. Oh, here's an interesting piece of trivia. So Baltimore is at the Jets this week.
Yes.
Do you know what my trivia is?
Yeah. And I'm trying not to steal your thunder. Sorry. Go ahead.
All right. Okay. I can't think of a time in history before when, you know, a team has played 2 weeks in a row as the road team in the same stadium.
If they had won, like, I maybe would have just wanted to stay. Just keep the momentum going. Don't go home. Just, you know, just stick with it.
Well, they're relatively close. I mean, that's a short plane ride or even a bus ride up to 95 and the Turnpike, so that's not so far away. But yeah, if it were a team, say, you know, I don't know, you know, even some of the other teams in their division, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Cincinnati, yeah, that would have been interesting to see what they do. I think the Jets had that situation a few weeks ago, I mean, a few years ago, or maybe it was the Bengals that had that situation where they played the Jets in the final game of the season and then they turned around and played them, I think, in the same stadium for the opening rounds of the wild card the following week. But anyway, that was weird. So anyway, I picked the Ravens to beat the Giants last week at Giants Stadium. Well, I guess it's no longer Giants Stadium. I still call it that, even though it's technically MetLife Stadium or whatever it is now. But so I picked the Ravens last week on the road at that stadium. I'm going to pick them again this week at that stadium. And I think final score, Baltimore 27, New York 20. And, of course, the big question on Jets fans' minds, as well as maybe a few other people who might be interested for fantasy purposes with Ben Roethlisberger down. But Geno Smith, you give him a second chance or you just stay the hell away from him?
Geno Smith is dead to me. Not giving him a second chance. I'm done with him. I'm over it. The fact that it took him this long to put him in, it speaks volumes to me about the fact that the Jets aren't even really excited about giving him a second chance. Didn't really light the world on fire when he came in the fourth quarter last week. Fumbled, so I don't expect too much different. I'm taking Baltimore 31-21. The fact that the healthiest of the Jets wide receivers is Brandon Marshall, and he's not generally all that healthy anyway, is a little troubling. Baltimore's got more going for him. Neither defense really is a great option, but I don't think this game's going to feel very competitive at any point.
You think this is the week we finally see Austin Seferian Jenkins make an impact?
Actually, I think it may very well be.
Okay, we'll see if that turns out. So, Oakland at Jacksonville. Neither of these teams are doing as well as they had hoped, but be interesting to. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. You know, Raiders. Yeah, that was a disappointing loss to the Chiefs at home last week, but 4-2 record tied with the Broncos.
Told you that was going
to
happen, though.
Too much about that. You did. You did call that one correctly. So this week, I'm on the other side, though. I'm picking against the Raiders this week. I think Blake Bortles is going to be able to pass his way to, you know, I don't know, at least 300 yards, maybe even more. But I'll say Jacksonville wins this in somewhat of a shootout. I'll go with Jacksonville 31, Oakland 24.
I think this is going to be one of the highest scoring games of the week. I'm super hyped to watch it. Oakland, I'm taking 34-30. This is going to be a shootout on both sides of the ball. Both Blake Bortles and Derek Carr are fantastic starts this week. I'm excited. So hyped.
I've actually seen Allen Hurns show up on the waiver wire in a couple of leagues.
Pick him up.
Which surprises me a little bit. I mean, I still think he's at best the second option there, but behind Allen Robinson, who hasn't exactly lit the world on fire yet this year either. But if he's on the waiver wire, depending on what else I have or who's injured on my bench, I think he's a worthwhile pickup and stash. And if you need him this week, it's probably a good week to start him.
It's a great week to start him. I am so excited about the fantasy prospects on both sides of the ball here.
Okay. So speaking of those pesky Kansas City Chiefs, they're at home against the even peskier New Orleans Saints, who I thought would lose at home to Carolina last week. That was another game that you called correctly that I whiffed on. But
okay. I whiffed
here,
on plenty of them.
New Orleans still looks like a one-dimensional offense to me. Pass, pass, pass. Kansas City, yeah, I think they're going to be able to run or pass against New Orleans. I think at home, Alex Smith, a little bit more offense than New Orleans is going to be able to muster. Kansas City at least has some semblance of a defense, especially against the run. So I'll go with a final score here of Kansas City 34, New Orleans 28.
I'm taking Kansas City 30, New Orleans 24. This is, I guess, a quasi-upset. I don't know if it really counts. But I just think that Kansas City has some momentum going. I like what they're doing on offense right now. Alex Smith looks really good. Their defense is not terrible. Not, you know, a number one defense, but, I mean, yeah, I mean, they're going to give up points. I don't think you should start them this week. But I think they'll slow New Orleans down enough. Plus, Drew Brees, over the last couple of weeks, his touchdown-interception ratio isn't as quite as big of a difference as I'd normally like. He's a little more pedestrian, and I say that with all due respect, because he's still putting up 400 yards. It's just his stats aren't as overwhelming as I'd like him to be against some of these defenses he's playing. And I think that Andy Reid's going to be able to dial it up. I think Kansas City's poised to take down New Orleans this week, and I think New Orleans is going to have to start really trying to figure out a different way to win some of these games.
Next up, we've got the team that for me is probably – it is one of the biggest surprises in the NFL this year. When they started off 0-2, I figured that Rex Ryan might as well just update his resume and, you know, start cleaning out his locker. But
and then we thought Rob Ryan should as well.
Out his office,
and then
they fired their offensive coordinator, and who knew? That seems to have done something for them. And all of a sudden,
the guy who was least deserving of getting fired, but it worked out.
Yeah, it's really strange. And so anyway, Buffalo, they're 1-4 in a row. This week they're on the road at Miami. Miami coming off of a pretty stunning home upset against the Steelers last week. Of course, a lot of that is due to Ben Roethlisberger being out of commission for a good chunk of the game. But, yeah, they did play pretty well.
Yeah.
Jay Ajayi, I don't think anybody saw him rushing for 200 yards. But this week I think Buffalo – they're going to be able to run roughshod over Miami's defense, and I'm going to pick them to win this. Final score, Buffalo 30, Miami 20.
Okay, I do agree with you. I think Buffalo is going to win this game. I think it's going to be closer. Miami is going to get better as these weeks go on. Their offensive line's back together. Ryan Tannehill looks like he remembers how to throw to his own players. It's an exciting time. But Buffalo is going to be able to come into Miami and, you know, do a little more damage, even though LeSean McCoy took a turn for the worse today, but we'll get to that. I've got Buffalo 24-21, so I'm not quite as hyped on Buffalo as you are, but I still think they'll win this game.
All right, so next is the game that I think is going to be the highest offensive scoring game, you know, the highest scoring game this week, and that's San Diego on the road at Atlanta. San Diego, 10 days to prepare. I think this is just going to be a track meet. I don't think either D defense can stop the other's offense, passing game, and I think Atlanta just has a little bit more firepower, you know, receiver-wise and all than San Diego does. So I'm going to go here with a fairly substantial margin. I'll say Atlanta wins this by 13, Atlanta 41, San Diego 28.
Okay, you're going all in on the high score. This is probably – this is absolutely the game I am most excited to watch in the afternoon or late in the day. But I won't even get into my normal tangent about how uneven the scheduling is, but I think San Diego, they're going to bring it. Atlanta is too. Neither of these defenses are going to slow either of these offenses down, and I'm also incredibly excited about the fantasy potential in this game, but I've got Atlanta winning 31-28, and so I don't think it's going to be quite as high scoring as you do, but still I think probably the most high scoring, one of the most high scoring games.
All right, next we've got Tampa Bay at San Francisco. So Tampa Bay at the City by the Bay. And
this is legitimately the game I am least excited to watch, without a doubt.
I could see that. I could see that. Yeah, neither.
I hate everything about what's happening on this field.
I still think Jameis Winston is kind of fun to watch, and that he's got a chance to break out still this season. But
yeah,
this game, you know, I guess the whole thing is, you know, Doug Martin, how healthy is he going to be if he plays?
Not healthy.
And, you know, otherwise.
Not at all
today,
healthy.
You know, you know, Jacquizz Rodgers, is he, you know, still going to rush for 100-some-odd yards? I just think both of these teams are going to be relying heavily on the run game, but I just think Tampa Bay is a little bit better equipped to stop the run than San Francisco is, and therefore I'm going to pick them to win this game. I'll say Tampa Bay 27, San Francisco 24.
I'm taking Tampa Bay 21-20. I don't have much good to say about either side of this. I do like Jacquizz Rodgers this week. Jameis Winston is fun to watch. I will give you that. San Francisco needs to just figure something out. Carlos Hyde's walking around in a sling. Life is not good out there.
Torrey Smith, I'm a little bit higher on him now that Colin Kaepernick is back as quarterback. I'm not sure that's good for the offense as a whole, but I think for Torrey Smith personally, that could be a good thing. So
I agree with you.
That
I,
would, I
do.
If you're
I just
in
don't know
dire
if,
need of
if
a wide receiver.
Colin Kaepernick's going to stick as a quarterback long term. I just don't know what they're going to do there yet.
At this point, I think they've got to give him the rest of the season, I think.
See, you would think,
you know,
that,
barring,
and that'd be logical, but
I mean, barring injury, they're 1-5. You know, they're not going anywhere. You know, certainly not to the playoffs with Blaine Gabbert. So I don't think they have anything to lose by, you know, seeing if Kaepernick is you know, better than that. So
yeah, we'll find out.
I would. Yeah, let's see how much patience Chip Kelly has.
True.
Next up, we've got a game that before last week probably would have been considered a real tight game. And one of the better ones to watch this week. I suppose it's potentially still a good game, but, you know, I'm not as high on Landry Jones to keep this close. I think New England's going to be able to pass up and down the field all day against that Steelers secondary, so I'm going to go with a final score of New England 38. Pittsburgh 24. How do you see this?
I like Landry Jones against pretty much any other team. I like Landry Jones as a quarterback. This matchup is terrible for him. It's just, I think New England's going to come in. I think they'll keep it sort of reasonable. I think I see it more 28-17. New England's going to come in. Tom Brady's going to put his numbers up and then have a press conference about how he doesn't think they're playing all that well, like we're now doing every week. But I just think it's not enough time. Things aren't looking that great for Pittsburgh. I don't see a way that Landry Jones, short of Tom Brady's like leg falling off, can find a way for the Steelers to win.
Okay. Next up, we've got Seattle at Arizona. This is one game that I think could be a really exciting game. Maybe not the highest scoring game, but just in terms of intensity and back and forth and close game throughout. And Arizona, I don't know, you know, you were complaining before about the schedule makers and with respect to sending San Diego to the East Coast, I think. But, I mean, Arizona, what's going on there? I think this is their seventh game of the season, and it's their fifth home game already. Who is making that schedule?
Who are they, like, I don't know if they're paying somebody off in the office. I don't know what's going on, but it's not.
And I guess
they're gonna be on the road a lot down the stretch, which maybe isn't great, but I don't know.
Well, I guess the other question though is, you know, here they are. They've had all these, you know, they've had four of their first six at home, and they're still only 3-3. Do you think? I know we both picked them to win the Super Bowl before the year started. Do you
want to take
that back at this point, or you
nope.
think that's still a reasonable thing and that they're going to get their act together, even though they're going to be playing the bulk of their games on the road the second half of the season?
Yeah, I'm sticking with it. I see a lot of good things. I still like the same things I liked coming into the season. Sure, their record's not what I thought it would be, but I can overlook that. They can rally. At least they're not 1-5, so things are all right.
Okay. So let's see here. I'm going to go with Arizona winning this 27-24.
Oh man, I literally picked the exact same score. So yep, I totally agree.
But I think, you know, my thinking in looking at this game was that it could very easily go either way, a turnover here or there. I think, you know, that's why I think this will be one of the more fun games to watch, even if it's not one of the more high-scoring games.
I think this
is
going to end up being just running back against running back. Like, it's going to be Christine Michael and David Johnson just kind of going back and forth, because this is going to be a battle of the run game.
And David Johnson is sure proving his worth for the people that drafted him in the first round of their drafts. I know a lot of people were on the fence, Todd Gurley, David Johnson, but so far it hasn't even been close this season.
No, not even.
So, and then finally we've got a Monday night game. And by the way, I don't think you want either one of those teams, Seattle or Arizona, in your knockout pool this week. I would stay away from that game.
You don't want Green Bay. I'm looking at you, Mike.
So if I had to, you know, one last tangent here, if I had to pick a team this week in a knockout pool, I think Atlanta would be very appealing to me. I know you disagree with Washington, but they would be very appealing to me. And I think also New England, even though they're on the road, I think.
Yeah.
Without Ben Roethlisberger, that team isn't, you know, half as good as it would be otherwise. So those would probably be my top three choices.
I agree with you. And ironically, this guy who I literally spent half an hour berating about his pick of Green Bay, his brother picked Atlanta in the same survivor pool. So, you know, half the family knows what they're doing.
All right. So then finally, the Monday night game, we've got the battle of running backs. Houston, Lamar Miller at Denver, C.J. Anderson, and now Devontae Booker starting to make some noise. This game is another one that I think is a toss-up. Denver, they start off the season on fire, but I don't think they're going to turn into the Arizona Cardinals of a few years ago, where they started 4-0 and then won maybe one or two games the whole rest of the season. But they're definitely not hitting on all cylinders right now, and you could argue that maybe that's just, you know, who they are, that, you know, if their defense plays well, they have a chance, but otherwise that offense isn't going to carry them. Trevor Siemian looked good a few weeks back and now seems to have regressed, and I'm actually going to go with the former Denver quarterback, the Brock Osweiler
terrible idea.
Bowl, Sam Bradford Bowl and the Brock Osweiler Bowl. I'm going to go with Houston to win this one. I'll say Houston 23, Denver 20.
Okay, we're similar in the score. Brock Osweiler is not going to win this game. The Brockweiler
is struggling.
Well, you
didn't think San Diego was going to win last week either.
Fair enough. I'm taking Denver 21-17. You make some valid points, but Denver's defense is a better defense than Houston. The Houston offense does not strike fear in my heart or anybody else's. And I don't know if you know who has the highest quarterback rating in the fourth quarter, but that is one Trevor Siemian, and that's what this is going to come down to. The fourth quarter, He's going to lead that game-winning drive, and Houston's going to go home the loser of the Brockweiler Bowl.
All right. We'll see. I mean, these two teams are actually, at least in terms of yards per game given up, have the top two pass defenses in the NFL, so that's why I think this is going to be pretty much of a run fest, and I just think that...
I've never been a Lamar Miller fan, so it's hard for me to get behind him.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. So now we've killed almost the whole show arguing about
Perfect.
Meaningless things. Why don't we get on to some actual fantasy picks then? So running back-wise, whose injuries should we be focused on this week?
Carlos Hyde showed up at practice the other day in a sling. He's got a shoulder injury. He is likely not going to be playing this week. Like we talked about, Eddie Lacy is not going to play with his ankle injury. They're officially still calling him doubtful, but he's not playing. James Starks is out. Niall Davis is now a Packer. Doug Martin suffered a setback today with his hamstring injury. There's no timetable for his return. He is not going to play this week. Deion Lewis, still battling back from that knee injury, is likely not coming back until week 10, so keep him on your bench. Arian Foster with the hamstring and groin injuries, he's going to play. He's not 100%. He's not getting the bulk of the carries, but he will still have some value. Jeremy Langford is still listed as doubtful. He's not going to play this week. Theo Riddick's questionable with that ankle injury. I'm still starting him. He will be in the lineup. Latavius Murray did practice today. He's battling a toe injury, so he's questionable. He'll still play this week. And LeSean McCoy left practice today with a hamstring injury. Keep an eye on that. We don't know the severity yet, so over the next day or two, more will come out. If he's going to get on the field, I'm interested in still putting him in my lineup since he's a touchdown machine now.
All right. In terms of the waiver wire, I know you spoke about Arian Foster, but I have little to no confidence in his ability to stay healthy. So Jay Ajayi
would
probably
does.
Be at the top of my waiver wire list this week in terms of running backs. Latavius Murray, I think DeAndre Washington, if he's still out there, is a pretty obvious grab. Devontae Booker, as I mentioned before, starting to eat into C.J. Anderson's carries a little bit. Chris Thompson in Washington, Rob Kelly in Washington, and Zach Zenner had a nice game in Detroit last week, although I still wonder if maybe Justin Forsett isn't the play there longer term.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have Justin Forsett stashed, but it'll be interesting to see.
All right, so running backs that appeal to me a lot this week, Matt Jones would be there, Isaiah Crowell, DeMarco Murray, Terrence West, and Spencer Ware, and LeSean McCoy if he's healthy enough to play, and Jack Hiz, Rogers, Carlos Hyde, if those guys are on the field, if Carlos Hyde is healthy, and then both the guys in the Houston-Denver game, Lamar Miller and T.J. Anderson, maybe even flex Devontae Booker if you're feeling adventurous.
I'd add Christian Michael to that list, David Johnson, DeMarco Murray, the usual suspects there. I like Chris Ivory and Melvin Gordon, Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman, Spencer Ware, all guys I might add on.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in terms of guys to avoid, I look at that Minnesota-Philadelphia game and I'd like to go with
everybody,
McKinnon,
every running back. Don't start that.
Yeah, Jerick McKinnon, Ryan Matthews, Darren Sproles, Wendell Smallwood, I think stay away from any running back involved in that game.
Yeah.
I'm not as keen on Melvin Gordon as you are, but and then I don't think it's going to be a great week for Le'Veon Bell either. We'll see how that works out. You're going to be relying on him pretty heavily, but I think if New England gets up by several touchdowns early, as I suspect might happen, they're going to have to abandon the run game. And we'll see what happens there. So
I would add Matt Forte is the guy I'd stay away from this week. Carlos Hyde, even if he plays, that shoulder injury gives me some strife. I don't think he'll make it through a whole game. Frank Gore, not a fan this week. I don't like Matt Jones this week at all. Sherp and I disagree there. TJ Yeldon keeps burning me. I'm not excited about his matchup just because I think this is going to be a very pass-happy game.
Yeah, I mean, and Chris Ivory is starting to get more and more carries there. I think I mentioned to you, I actually cut TJ Yeldon in one league a few weeks ago.
I'm not ready to do that yet.
Part of it was out of spite. We had that talk already, but I don't see anything I'd rather speculate on a Nile Davis at this point than carry TJ Yeldon.
I picked Nile Davis up on a couple of teams this afternoon. I'm going in on it. I think it could work out.
All right. Wide receiver-wise, who are some of the more obvious injury people that we should be keeping an eye on?
Ones that seem like they're trending towards possibly not playing. Will Fuller's pretty questionable with a bad hamstring. Stephon Diggs did finally come back to practice this week. It was a little troubling in practice yesterday coming off a bye, but that groin injury is still definitely a nagging problem. Devontae Adams in Green Bay, still battling the concussion. Odell Beckham Jr., he's got the hip injury. I don't think that'll keep him off the field. Terrell Pryor's hamstring injury, however, I would keep a closer eye on. Steve Smith Sr. did not practice today with that ankle injury. I think that's more of a maintenance thing, but keep an eye on it. John Brown's still dealing with that nagging knee injury, and Emmanuel Sanders with the hip injury. So definitely keep an eye on those. I think those are going to go down a little bit more to game time than some of the other injuries. A lot of it's just maintenance.
I had Eddie Royal on my list, too, as somebody who's still not really healthy.
That toe injury. I think he's still going to play, though. He's pretty good about playing through injuries.
I don't know that I would want him as a fantasy option this week, but for waiver wire pickups, I like Kenny Britt a lot. Kendall Wright, blast from the past, as was Kenny Britt. You know, Kendall Wright. It used to be the Kendall and Kenny show in Tennessee. Now it's only the Kendall show, and it's not really even much of a show right now since last week was his first week back. But, you know, given that Marcus Mariota has looked better the last couple of weeks, I could see taking a flyer on Kendall Wright and hoping for the best. Cole Beasley, amazingly, is still owned in fewer than 50% of leagues. I
what
don't
are people
understand
doing?
That at all.
Seriously. Get it together. Pick him up.
I mean, I realize it's a bye week for them, but still, if he's out
care.
There on the
pick
waiver
anyway.
Wire,
Worth
yeah.
It.
Pierre Garçon has had a couple nice games in a row for the Redskins. Torrey Smith, his value should go up with Colin Kaepernick back. Robert Woods is quietly having a pretty nice season there for Buffalo. Jameson Crowder scored a touchdown last week and getting more involved in the Redskins offense.
Yeah.
Victor Cruz, Anquan Boldin, Mohamed Sanu, Ted Ginn Jr., Brian Quick, Kamar Aiken, Brandon LaFell, and Brashad Perriman were the others on my list.
That's a pretty solid list.
I had a few
others.
Ty Montgomery and a few others, but I'm now really scraping bottom of the barrel, so I'll stop.
That's okay.
All right. How about top picks for this week, wide receiver-wise, for you?
As I... pretty hyped about earlier, pretty much any of the wide receivers in the Jacksonville-Oakland game. I'm looking at Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree, all going to have big games. Randall Cobb probably going to have a bounce back game. He usually is pretty strong against the Bears. I expect that trend to continue. Jeremy Maclin, Tyrell Williams, DeSean Jackson, and Jamison Crowder. Again, another team that's probably going to put some points up. A.J. Green, Julian Edelman, I think, is finally going to get in the end zone this week. Odell Beckham Jr., Brandon Marshall, more of a flex option for me, but I think he's, by default, the healthiest guy out there. Kenny Britt, Robert Woods, T.Y. Hilton, Jordy Nelson, Julio Jones. A lot of good stuff this week. Some good matchups.
Yeah, I don't have any disagreements, nor do I really have much to add to
that.
You know, I think the scores are pretty self-explanatory there. How about anybody that you – or any games where you'd be staying away from wide receivers? You know, I guess for me, Antonio Brown sticks out as somebody who would normally be a no-brainer
Antonio
play.
Brown is pretty
week,
terrible
so
when
much.
Big Ben's not under center. Landry Jones and he don't seem to have much of a rapport, so I'm pretty much looking at any other wide receiver but Antonio Brown. Larry Fitzgerald and John Brown could have a dud week. I'm just not sure because I don't think there's going to be enough there in the pass game. Stephon Diggs, that groin injury scares me, plus there's not going to be a ton of points there. DeAndre Hopkins, obviously I'm not nearly as excited about the Houston prospects as you are. Jordan Matthews, again, the Sam Bradford Bowl is going to be very much like its namesake and not a very high-octane pass effort.
Okay. The one thing that I would add to that list are the Detroit receivers. I don't think that they're going to do much against Washington's defense. We disagree there a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Marvin Jones, Golden Tate, Anquan Boldin, even though I mentioned Anquan Boldin over and over as somebody to pick up off the waiver wire, I don't think this is necessarily the ideal week to start him.
Disagreement's what's kept our show around for the last 7 years, so that's probably a good
thing. Right. It has. Okay, so let's find some quarterbacks to disagree on. First, how about injuries for quarterbacks?
I don't know if you guys have heard, but Ben Roethlisberger had knee surgery. He tore his meniscus.
That's almost as big news as Ryan Fitzpatrick not being the starter anymore.
Depending who you ask, he's going to miss anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks. I lean 2 or 3. He's a fast healer, despite the fact that they're like, oh, it's going to take a little longer. He's got that bone bruise from last year. Whatever. This guy heals like Superman. He essentially had his knee scoped. He'll be fine. He's coming back in 2 weeks. Landry Jones is going to be your starter in the meantime. Geno Smith taking over for the Jets. That's pretty forgettable. Jay Cutler is allegedly questionable with his thumb injury. He's not starting this week. Carson Palmer is dealing with a hamstring injury. Just keep an eye on it. He is listed as questionable. It looks like he'll be fine, but he did miss some time in the game last week with it.
As far as waiver wire options, Joe Flacco is still out there in a lot of leagues. Case Keenum, Brian Hoyer, Alex Smith. I know you're not so high on Brock Osweiler, Cody Kessler.
Not at all.
Trevor Siemian, Ryan Tannehill, Landry Jones, Colin Kaepernick. Those are the ones in descending order that I would be looking at.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have any problem with that. Except, obviously,
right.
Brock Osweiler, but fine.
Okay. So, how about quarterbacks that would be at the top of your list this week for a big passing game?
Matt Ryan, Philip Rivers, Matt Stafford, Kirk Cousins. I mean, that Lions defense gave up almost 30 points to Case Keenum, fantasy points last week. Hard to see Kirk Cousins not having a great game. As we talked about earlier, I'm all in on Marcus Mariota, Blake Bortles, Derek Carr, Alex Smith. And if you're in a deeper league or you need to stream somebody, Jameis Winston, I think he'll put some points up. It's not going to be a hugely high-scoring game. But if you're in a pinch, he's not a bad option.
Brian Hoyer would be on my list. Eli Manning and Keenum, I think they're both going to have big weeks. Kirk Cousins, I think, will have a big week. You disagree. Andy Dalton, Andrew Luck. I agree with you on Bortles. Disagree on Derek Carr.
That's okay.
That's okay. Drew Brees, Alex Smith, Philip Rivers, Matt Ryan. Tom Brady, so I think we have fairly similar lists. How about quarterbacks to avoid this week?
I actually have Eli Manning on my avoid list. London and the interceptions, it's not my thing this week. Colin Kaepernick's on my list. Carson Palmer, I don't love the matchup. As I've said time and time again, it's going to be the David Johnson show. Plus, he's not 100%, so for me, there are better options. Ryan Tannehill, Carson Wentz, Brock Osweiler, Geno Smith. No surprise if you listen to the first half of this show.
Well, hopefully Eli will look right before he passes the ball this week.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Okay. All right. So next up, let's move on to the tight ends. Injury-wise, what should we be looking at?
Tyler Eifert, he finally came back to practice. Back injury seems to be on the mend. They're calling him questionable. I think it's kind of a long shot. That's going to go down to game time. Backs are a little tricky. Jordan Reed has a concussion. He was practicing today. He is not cleared from the concussion protocol yet. I think that's a little touch and go there, so I would keep an eye on that. Zach Miller's dealing with the rib injury. Jared Cook's going to be out with that ankle injury. Eric Ebron still got a bad knee. Charles Clay's got a bad ankle. He's not practicing. That looks a little more questionable than some of the others. Dwayne Allen also on the fence with an ankle injury. Antonio Gates with that bad hamstring. But generally, you're not starting him right now anyway because you have some better options. But, it's kind of a banged-up bunch.
Okay. In terms of waiver wire, Hunter Henry is the name that I've seen flying off of the waiver wire in several leagues this week. Yeah, I know he's owned in a lot of leagues already, but amazingly was still unowned in quite a few. I think that's probably going to end after last week, but he was one that was on my radar this week. Charles Clay injury concerns aside, I think if he's able to play, he's somebody that you might consider picking up if your tight end is injured or on bye. Lance Kendricks with the Rams, Larry Donnell with the Giants. Seems like he's back to his form from a couple years ago. C.J. Fedorowicz seems to be the tight end du jour in Houston now, and that Jack Doyle keeps popping up every couple weeks with a big game. So if you're really desperate in a deep league, he's somebody else to consider.
Who do you like this week?
Picks for this week. Zach Miller, if he's healthy, Larry Donnell, maybe even Will Tye, Lance Kendricks, I mentioned just now, maybe Vernon Davis.
I like Vernon Davis.
I would love to see Julius Thomas stay healthy enough to have a big game for Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. Kobe Fleener, Hunter Henry, like him a lot. The Atlanta situation, I don't know what's going on there. I thought Jacob Tammy was going to be a real star, and then all of a sudden Levine Toilolo has three catches and a touchdown last week. I don't know what's going on there. New England,
I like Levine Toilolo. I hate trying to say his name on the show when I'm talking fast, which I generally am. It's just, it's a mouthful and it's tough. Every time he catches a touchdown, I'm like, ah, not again.
I think the less you think about his name when you say it, the better off you are. But
I don't know.
Yeah, you're talking to somebody who called San Antonio Holmes for a number of years. So I was glad when he retired or was no longer offered a contract. That was I breathed a bit heavy sigh of relief. And either of the Patriots two-headed monster, I think either Gronkowski or Martellus Bennett are good picks this week too as far as tight ends. Going to be interesting to see in Pittsburgh both with, for Jesse James, both with Landry Jones being on the being the starter now. You figure the two probably have some rapport from the second team last year, but is that going to carry over into games this year? And then also, who knows when and if Ladarius Green is ever going to reappear there. But for right now, I'm a little bit less optimistic about Jesse James' fantasy value going forward than I was.
More excited about it. From what I understand, they have a pretty good rapport, and I'm a big proponent of second or third string quarterbacks come in, that they already have guys that they like, and that's when you see a guy like Cole Beasley kind of pop off that maybe you weren't expecting. I think I'm in the minority against what a lot of people are saying, but I think Jesse James is poised to have a pretty nice game this week. I don't disagree with most of your other picks. I like Gary Barnage this week as well. I think he could have a big game. There's some points out there to be had for him for sure. It's a good defensive matchup for him.
Okay, and anything you want to talk about defenses or kickers? I think with the defenses, it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Just pick the teams that we think are not going to give up many points, and you should be okay. And so that means not picking San Diego, not picking New Orleans, and not picking not picking the Steelers. So anyway, enough said about that. So why don't you hit us up with your DFS picks for this week, and then we'll sign off.
All right, I think we can do that. I think there are a couple of really nice stack potentials here this week. Atlanta, Oakland, Jacksonville. You've got some good options there if you're somebody who likes to play the stack. So quarterback-wise, really into Matt Ryan and Blake Bortles this week. The Raiders are absolute last against the pass. The Kirk Cousins, like I said before, Detroit just makes it rain points to quarterbacks. Phillip Rivers. Running back-wise, Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman, Jeremy Hill, historically very good against Cleveland, Jamal Charles, New Orleans is just terrible, giving up rush touchdowns, so take advantage. LeGarrette Blount, LeSean McCoy, if he plays, all good options. Julio Jones, Allen Hurns, Pierre Garçon, good value play there. Victor Cruz has been getting more targets. Michael Crabtree, Mohamed Sanu, tight end-wise, Julius Thomas, Gary Barnage, Martellus Bennett, and Hunter Henry. And then defense-wise, New England, Buffalo, Arizona, all pretty much can't miss picks there. So that's pretty much it for us this week. We'll be back at our normal time Wednesday, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern time. You can find us all over social media at fantasyfootballsherpa.com, at the Fantasy Football Sherpa fan page, and on Twitter at fantasy_Sherpa and JKIM16. If you have any lineup questions or you just want to talk football, come find us. And good luck this week, unless you're playing against me.
No Jets stack?
I'm sorry? No Jets stack.
No Jets
never.
Stack.
Never in my life.
Okay. All right.
But if you need advice, come find us. And like I said, we'll be back in our normal time. So everyone go enjoy the debate.